The Ten Commandments is a movie which tells the story of the exodus of Israel from Egypt. Hollywood style, of course, but still a very dramatic and a very memorable experience to sit through that. The first time I saw it, it was perhaps a lot more dramatic. CGI wasn't so available to contrast the special effects of the early 50s, but nonetheless, it told the story in Hollywood style, and it certainly has made an impression. One theme, looking back on it and thinking about the movie, that is inescapable in the movie is the fact that God was the one who rescued Israel. Of course, Moses was featured, and Aaron, and the various ones, but the backdrop to all of this was the fact that God was the one giving the instructions. Now, as we approach the Passover season, we in the Church of God take time to remember that long ago period, but now it has a much deeper, a newer meaning for us. The spiritual applications are profound because of Jesus Christ. And looking at the Bible, we know that the story of the Exodus fills the pages of the Bible. Oftentimes it is mentioned. A lot of times, like in the book of Hebrews and some of the early chapters, it is pointing out the fact that those who were led out of Egypt did not stay faithful to God, and they suffered really dire consequences. Well, that was an event long ago as we measure time in the span of human lifetime. But the saving of Israel and of Judah is mentioned time and time again in the Bible. But in this context, it's mentioned prophetically. Specifically, what I am talking about today is a second Exodus, as the Bible describes it. And I've run across the scriptures that back this up over the years and thought about them. And finally, I've come to the point I wanted to dig in a little deeper. This won't be like before, because this Exodus will involve people literally all over the earth. Captive people, brethren. Captive people of the modern house of Israel, which is targeted specifically at Ephraim and Manasseh, the two sons of Joseph, and they were the sons who bore the name Israel, and especially for prophetic purposes, that often applies. It can mean the whole house of Israel, and often the Bible will actually say it that way, the whole house of Israel, which will include all 12 tribes. It also involves Judah. And those three prominent tribes, Ephraim and Manasseh being a double, having a double blessing and actually counted as an extra tribe, they're destined to go into national captivity. They were captives in Israel of old, but who can imagine these nations being captives in the times ahead? Looking at some of the prophecies of the future, we know that the modern house of Israel, all of it, will suffer famines, pestilences, war, or as the Bible calls it, the sword. And oftentimes in the Bible, those three dire consequences, punishments, if you please, will be mentioned: famines, pestilences, and war. We hear of wars and rumors of wars, like Jesus Christ said we would. We hear of famines, certainly here and there, sometimes involving whole nations or swaths of a continent. We hear of pestilences. Oh, do we hear of pestilences? We're living in a time of such utter change. But, brethren, this is a warning for what is about to descend on the whole earth, the devastation that will hit this earth is really incomprehensible. We can read the words, and I may touch on that a little bit in this sermon, but primarily I want to talk about the second Exodus for the modern House of Israel, which will include the United States, what was formerly called the British Empire, many of those nations, and then the people of Judah, the state of Israel, and the Jews all over the world, because God is dealing with them to correct them, and I can say us. I mentioned that when it does occur, when we are involved in a second Exodus, it will be a much reduced population. There are scriptures that talk about very few men being left on all of the earth, and if that's true, that is also true about the house of Israel. Isaiah 54, verses 7 through 8, I'd like to start there with what God is saying to his people, because this is going to happen. We now have inherited such tremendous blessings, the blessings of Abraham, and we have dominated the earth in the last several centuries. I'm talking about United Kingdom, the British Empire, the United States now, and even now, for a while, the modern state of Israel. Isaiah 54 and verse 7, "For a mere moment I have forsaken you, but with great mercies I will gather you." Let's pick up on that theme, because it'll come out in many of the verses. I'm going to give you a lot of scriptures today that point out this gathering of the people of God. Verse 8, "With a little wrath I hid my face from you for a moment, but with everlasting kindness I will have mercy on you, says the Lord your Redeemer." God is the Redeemer of Israel. He has not broken his covenant with them, and he will honor what he has said to the fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Although Israel has been a great disappointment to God in terms of its obedience, prophecy shows that Israel will be brought back. And if you're maybe new to the concept of terminology that I'm using about the modern houses here, just understand that we're talking about the United States going into captivity, about the United Kingdom going into captivity, and that modern nation of Israel being literally destroyed to the ground and its people scattered and most of them being taken into captivity. But again, prophecy shows that Israel will be brought back. So first, to be brought back, what has to happen? They have to be taken captive, as subsequent scriptures are going to show. Amos 9 and verse 14. Amos 9 and verse 14, "I will bring back the captives of my people Israel." What? Is this talking about the escape from Egypt so long ago? Hardly. This is a prophecy for the future. My people Israel, not maybe just the Jews or the Americans or the Brits, but those who are the recipients of the covenant, the descendants of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. "They shall build the waste cities and inhabit them." Why would there be waste cities? Because of the destruction that is coming. They shall plant vineyards and drink wine from them. They shall also make gardens and eat fruit from them. Something is about to happen that God will never let happen again. Israel will be punished severely, but they will recover from this. Let's go to Isaiah 14, verses 1 through 2. Isaiah 14, verse 1. For the Lord will have mercy on Jacob, and will still choose Israel, and settle them in their own land. Land we have now. Land our nations are about to lose. The strangers will be joined with them, and they will cling to the house of Jacob. About a future time when strangers are brought back from captivity themselves, along with maybe even those, as the Bible will show in a little bit, even those who had taken Israel captive will become captives themselves. Then people will take them and bring them to their place. They will be ushered back to their own land. And the house of Israel will possess them for servants and maids in the land of the Lord. And what's that talking about? Well, the land is in the Middle East. It's the land of Israel. And they will take them captive, whose captives they were, and rule over their oppressors. Isaiah 60 and verse 9. Several scriptures from different sources here pointing this out. This Exodus from captivity. Isaiah 60, verse 9, surely the coastland shall wait for me, and the ships of Tarshish will come first to bring your sons from afar, their silver and their gold with him, to the name of the Lord your God. Again, the target point, as we can point out in more detail, is Jerusalem and the land of Israel, and to the temple of God, and to God himself, Jesus Christ, and to the Holy One of Israel, because he has glorified you, that is Jerusalem. Jerusalem's the bullseye for the return from the Exodus. Just as Israel of old was brought into the promised land, this time around too, the remnant of Israel will be brought to the land that God gave to our forefathers. Isaiah 66, verse 20. In verse 20, then they shall bring all your brethren for an offering to the Lord, out of all nations, on horses and in chariots and in litters, on mules and on camels, to my holy mountain Jerusalem, says the Lord, as the children of Israel bring an offering in a clean vessel into the house of the Lord. The remnant of Israel will be brought back by others, inspired, directed, commanded to do so by God, and they'll be brought back to the Middle East to start with. Jeremiah 16, verses 14 through 16. Jeremiah 16 and verse 14, therefore, behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, and they certainly are, that it will no more be said, the Lord lives who brought up the children of Israel from the land of Egypt. That's what we talk about now. That's what movies are made about. But the Lord lives who brought up the children of Israel from the land of the north and from all of the lands where he had driven them, not just the land of the north, not just modern Europe, but islands and other nations, because at that point they will have been sold as slaves all over the earth, taken captive, at least the remnant that escapes all the trials that will still occur in our nations. For I will bring them back into their land, which I gave to their fathers. Verse 16, behold, I will send for many fishermen, says the Lord, and they shall fish them. And afterward, I will send for many hunters, and they shall hunt them from every mountain and every hill and out of the holes of the rocks. Let's go to Isaiah 43, verses 5 through 6. Isaiah 43 and verse 5. God inspires this. Fear not. And often when preparing this sermon, and I was struck by those words, that God was encouraging his people to not be afraid. And I'm talking not about the Church of God people, although that certainly applies, but I'm talking about those who will be redeemed in the future because they have been afraid, just like we're afraid as a nation right now. Really afraid. And the thing that has happened to us as a backdrop to my sermon should make a very poignant thought come to you about how close we are to all of these events. They have begun. If I have time, I'll get to some scriptures about that. We are here. We are on the threshold of these things, having stepped in past the threshold even. Fear not, for I am with you. I will bring your descendants from the east and gather you from the west. I will say to the north, give them up, and to the south, do not keep them back. Bring my sons from afar and my daughters from the ends of the earth. National captivity on a worldwide basis, and when Israel is redeemed, they will have to be brought from all over the earth, those few who are left. Isaiah 11, verses 11 through 12. Again, making the point of this second monumental exodus. Isaiah 11 and verse 11, it shall come to pass in that day that the Lord shall set his hand again the second time to recover the remnant of his people who are left from Assyria and Egypt, from Pathos and Cush, from Elam and Shinar, from Hamath and the islands of the sea. So by reading these scriptures, we can get the impression and understand that God's people are going to be scattered all over the earth. Verse 12, he will set up a banner for the nations and will assemble the outcast of Israel and gather together the dispersed of Judah from the four corners of the earth. Now let me read that verse again so we don't miss the point here. He's talking about Israel and Judah. Verse 12, he will set up a banner for the nations and will assemble the outcast of Israel and gather together the dispersed of Judah from the four corners of the earth. Jeremiah 3 and verse 18. And this is something that has not happened, but will. You know, for these scriptures to be relevant and for us to really understand them, there has to be a Jewish nation right now. Prophecy demands it. And so in 1948, a Jewish nation was formed. And the Americans under our president at that time signed off on the final form from the United Nations to make this happen so that the Jews had a homeland. Of course, many years have passed, and they are a strong, definite nation. And of course, there are Jews all over the earth, but be aware that because of these things, we can understand prophecy. It is opened up to us in ways it never was before. Jeremiah 3 and verse 18, in those days the house of Judah shall walk with the house of Israel, and they shall come together out of the land of the north to the land that I have given as an inheritance to your fathers. They will be pointed back to the Middle East, to the land of promise. So second Exodus, no question, but not just from Egypt, as I said before, but from all places on the earth. Ezekiel 6, verses 8 through 10. God says here in this prophecy of Ezekiel, and remember, the tribe of Judah is in captivity at this point when Ezekiel is prophesying, and yet God sent Ezekiel to prophesy to Israel and to Judah, but his prophecies were for a much later time than his own lifetime. He didn't go personally, but his words are here. We're reading them together today. In verse 8 of Ezekiel 6, yet I will leave a remnant, so that you may have some who escape the sword among the nations. When you are scattered through the countries, then those of you who escape will remember me among the nations where they are carried captive, because I was crushed, God is saying, by their adulterous heart, which has departed from me, and by their eyes, which play the harlot after their idols. They will loathe themselves for the evils which they committed in all of their abominations. And they shall know that I am the Lord. I have not said in vain that I would bring this calamity on them. God leaves the remnant. And that's who our nations will eventually be represented by. Not the countless hundreds of millions now, but a remnant. Let's go to Isaiah 20, verse 20 through 23. Again, pointing out how devastating the future is for our people. I'm not spending a lot of time, it's a whole separate sermon, but the actual sins of our nations stink to high heaven. And God is angry. Though he hasn't made the move yet, we see the beginning of his punishment for all that we are doing as a people. Isaiah 10, I'll get there in just a minute. Didn't go far enough. Verse 20. And it shall come to pass in that day that the remnant of Israel and such as have escaped from the house of Jacob will never again depend on him who defeated them, but will depend on the Lord, the Holy One of Israel, in truth. The remnant will return, the remnant of Jacob, to the mighty God. For though your people, O Israel, be as the sand of the sea, a remnant of them will return. The destruction decreed shall overflow with righteousness. For the Lord God of hosts will make a determined end in the midst of all the land. Isaiah 11, verse 16. Isaiah 11 and verse 16, there will be a highway for the remnant of his people who will be left. Now, note the location here, brethren. Who will be left from Assyria, modern Germany, and then, of course, Europe, as it was for Israel in the day that he came up from the land of Egypt. So you see that God is speaking very clearly and very specifically about this future time about a smaller remnant people that will return, but the fact that he will make sure that they do. Ezekiel 11, verses 16 through 17. Ezekiel 11, verse 16, "Therefore say, thus says the Lord God, although I have cast them far off among the Gentiles, and although I have scattered them among the countries," this event has not yet happened, brethren. Nowhere in history can you see this fulfilled in the way that God is speaking of here. "Yet I shall be a little sanctuary for them in the countries where they have gone. Therefore, say, thus says the Lord God, I will gather you from the peoples, assemble you from the countries where you have been scattered, and I will give you the land of Israel." You think I might be repeating some thoughts here in these scriptures that I'm quoting? I certainly am, and I'm doing so on purpose because of what God has promised and what he himself has said over and over to make the point. Ezekiel 20, and let's go to verse 33 to begin with. Ezekiel 20 and verse 33. "As I live, says the Lord God, surely with a mighty hand, with an outstretched arm, and with fury poured out, I will rule over you." And he's not ruling over us now. We're not submitting to his rule, but we will. "I will bring you out from the peoples and gather you out of the countries where you are scattered, with a mighty hand, with an outstretched arm, and with fury poured out. And I will bring you into the wilderness of the peoples, and there I will plead my case with you face to face." See if I want to continue. Yes, to verse 36. "Just as I pleaded my case with your fathers in the wilderness of the land of Egypt, so I will plead my case with you, says the Lord God." It took time for Israel of old to come out of Egypt. It took leadership. It took a lot of things. It will take time for the outcasts, the remnant of modern day Israel and Judah, to come back. A lot's going to happen there. We don't know all of the details, but we can look at as a type of what happened to Israel of old. But these things are surely coming. Since we're in Ezekiel, let's go to chapter 34. Verses 11 through 14. Ezekiel 34, verse 11. "For thus says the Lord God, indeed I myself," notice this active role, "I myself will search for my sheep and seek them out." God will redeem his people. As a shepherd seeks out his flock on the day he is among his scattered sheep, so will I seek out my sheep and deliver them from all of the places where they were scattered on a cloudy and dark day, in a time of terribleness, of terror, of evil. Verse 13, "And I will bring them out of the peoples and gather them from the countries, and will bring them to their own land." That's defined right in the context of these scriptures as the land of Israel. "I will feed them on the mountains of Israel, in the valleys, and in all of the inhabited places of the country. I will feed," excuse me, "I will feed them in good pasture, and their fold shall be on the high mountains of Israel. There they shall lay down in a good fold and feed in rich pasture on the mountains of Israel." It's not just I'm going to gather them out of the captivity, but I'm going to make things good for them. and as we can know from other scriptures, better than they've ever been before. Because then the people can be blessed because they will have a new spirit and God will bless them. But again, another sermon. We call that the Feast of Tabernacles. Ezekiel 34, verses 27 through 31. I'm going to go over there. But before I do, there's one other scripture I had a note on I wanted to add here in verse 16 of the same chapter. Is I will seek what was lost and bring back what was driven away, bind up the broken and strengthen what was sick, but I will destroy the fat and the strong and feed them in judgment. God's going to be very merciful to those who turn to him. Then in verses 27 through 31, this is a setting, as we can read, and again, you might think, well, look, this all sounds like Old Testament stuff. This doesn't apply now. But if you note in verse 23 of this chapter, God is saying, my servant David, he shall feed them and be their shepherd. But again, picking up now in verse 27, then the trees of the field shall yield their fruit, and the earth shall yield her increase. They shall be safe in their land, and they shall know that I am the Lord when I have broken the bands of their yoke and delivered them from the hand of those who enslave them. Continuing in verse 28, and they shall no longer be a prey for the nations, nor shall beasts of the land devour them, but they shall dwell safely, and no one shall make them afraid. Here we see that again, a time when fear will be removed. I will raise up for them a garden of renown, and they shall no longer be consumed with hunger in the land, the famines that they will have to go through in the future, nor bear the shame of the Gentiles anymore as their slaves, not able to worship the true God, and the threat probably of death. Thus they shall know that I, the Lord, their God, am with them. And they, the house of Israel, are my people, says the Lord. You are my flock, the flock of my pasture. You are men, and I am your God, says the Lord God. Let's continue in Ezekiel. I have several scriptures here. Ezekiel 36, verse 8. Putting these several scriptures, these many scriptures together, you get this kind of a panoramic view, not real clear, but broadly presented, with some very specifics, of course. Ezekiel 36 and verse 8, but you, O mountains of Israel, you shall shoot forth your branches and yield your fruit to my people Israel. For they are about to come. They're on their way. Get ready for them. Even now, God is saying this. Ezekiel 36, verse 24. For I will take you from among nations, gather you out of all countries, and bring you into your own land. Again, time and time again, God is saying, I will bring you back to the land that I have given you. You don't even have it now. I mean, look what the Jews are fighting with the Palestinians, and there's no certainty. Everybody claiming ownership. There won't be any mistakes when God reestablishes his rule over his people in the land that he gave them. And from there, they will spread out. They will go back to the land promised to Abraham. All over the earth, the places that are theirs, where their gates once were, they will fill the earth. Don't have that scripture right in front of me, but the descendants of Israel will fill the earth, it says in other places, talking about the future. Amos 9 and verse 4. Amos 9 and verse 4. And I will bring my people Israel back from exile. They will rebuild the ruined cities and live in them. They will plant vineyards and drink their wine. Not grape juice. Always have to smile a little bit about that, on how that is described. They will plant vineyards and drink their wine. They will make gardens and eat their fruit. That's a wonderful vision to think about. Zechariah 8 and verse 8. Zechariah 8 and verse 8. God says, I will bring them back, and they shall dwell in the midst of Jerusalem. They shall be my people, and I will be their God in truth and righteousness. Then in Zechariah 10:10, I will also bring them back from the land of Egypt and gather them from Assyria. I will bring them into the land of Gilead and Lebanon until no more room is found for them. You can think about the geography of the Middle East and how Lebanon sits above the Judah of our day, the state of Israel. I'm going to fill the land. Of course, we know from the book of Revelation and then also in the last couple of chapters of the book of Ezekiel that specific tribes will again receive inheritance. And that won't be enough room for them. They will have to go to the other part of their inheritance as they fill the earth with their descendants. But there will be a representative population of each of the tribes in the land of Israel at that time. Isaiah 27, verses 12 through 13. Isaiah 27 and verse 12. It shall come to pass in that day that the Lord will thresh from the channel of the river to the brook of Egypt, the Euphrates River, and you will be gathered one by one, O you children of Israel. So it shall be in that day, the great trumpet will be blown. Now, very likely that's what Christ was speaking about in Matthew 24. When the great trumpet is blown, it could be another time, but that's a possibility. It also gives us a little bit of a sense of the timing of when all of these things will be culminating, the end of the age, the return of Jesus Christ, and the establishment of God's kingdom. He will people his kingdom with this remnant, ragtag bunch of Israelites and the rest of the world, the very few who are left among the nations. So it shall be in that day, the great trumpet will be blown. They will come who are about to perish in the land of Assyria, and they who are outcast in the land of Egypt, and shall worship the Lord in the holy mount at Jerusalem. So you see this ingathering of people streaming in, some being brought by their former rulers, their slave owners, because somehow the message goes out. A lot's going to be happening. Remember, there are going to be two prophets standing up who will ultimately die in the streets of Jerusalem right about this same time, about this great trumpet being blown. And they will be preaching, and their message will go out. And brethren, it should give fuel to us to lift our voices now to educate those who might be willing to listen, so that perchance some who don't listen now will know enough to repent later on. That can be our, that should fuel us to know that even though a lot of people aren't paying attention now. We're putting out literature. We're making broadcasts. Who knows how long those will be preserved. It's up to God, and he can do as he pleases, but he always uses his servants to accomplish things like this. Jeremiah 23, verses 1 through 8. Having to read a lot to you, but it's the message, and I want to get it and make the point of how dominating this theme is in the Word of God about returning the remnant, of gathering a captive people, the remnant of it. Okay, Jeremiah 23, verses 1 through 8. Woe to the shepherds who destroy and scatter the sheep of my pasture, says the Lord. Therefore, thus says the Lord God of Israel, against the shepherds who feed my people, you have scattered my flock, driven them away, and not attended to them. Behold, I will attend to you for the evil of your doing, says the Lord. True religion? Hardly. True Christianity? Hardly. They love to say the name Jesus Christ. Seems like they love to say even more the name of God in vain, as well as the name of Jesus Christ. Verse 3, but I will gather the remnant of my flock out of the countries where I have driven them and bring them back to their folds, and they shall be fruitful and increase, and I will set up shepherds over them who will feed them, and they shall fear no more. Possibly a little bit of a job description here, brethren, for those of us who get to be a part of the first resurrection, shepherds who will teach truth. Nor shall they be lacking, says the Lord. Behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, that I will raise to David a branch of righteousness. A king shall reign and prosper and execute judgment and righteousness in the earth. Speaking of Jesus Christ. In his days, Judah will be saved and Israel will dwell safely. Again, a mention of both Judah and Israel, because there is a time in the future, as I think we already read, that they will walk together, but they will become one stick again, as you can read about in the book of Ezekiel. One people with David, their king. In his days, Judah will be saved and Israel will dwell safely. Now, this is his name by which he will be called. Make sure I'm continuing here for my notes. The Lord our righteousness. Therefore, behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, the Eternal, that they shall no longer say, as the Lord lives who brought up the children of Israel from the land of Egypt, but as the Lord lives who brought up and led the descendants of the house of Israel from the north country and from all of the countries where I had driven them. And they shall dwell in their own land. Picture that movie. A much grander scale. But it will be talked about. It will be a lesson going into the millennial reign of Jesus Christ. For certain. Jeremiah 30. This kind of narrows it down to where we are in the scheme of things. Jeremiah 30. And I'd like to begin in verse 1. The word that came to Jeremiah from the Lord, saying, Thus speaks the Lord God of Israel, saying, write in a book for yourself all the words that I have spoken to you. Now, Jeremiah preached at the time of the destruction of Jerusalem and of the temple. He was one of the prophets alive, prophesying at that time, but he talked about a time way beyond the period when Nebuchadnezzar came in and took the Jews captive and destroyed the land of Judah at that time. For behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, that I will bring back from captivity my people Israel and Judah. Again, mentioned together, it's key for understanding Old Testament prophecy. When Israel and Judah are mentioned together, you start understanding that it's talking about future times typically. And I will cause them to return to the land that I gave to their fathers, and they shall possess it. Now these are the words that the Lord spoke concerning Israel and Judah. For thus says the Lord, we have heard a voice of trembling, of fear, and not of peace. Ask now and see whether a man is ever in labor with a child. So why do I see every man with his hands on his loins, like a woman in labor, and all faces turn pale? Alas, for that day is great, so that none is like it, and it is the time of Jacob's trouble. But he will be saved out of it. For him, God will grant a second exodus. For it shall come to pass in that day, says the Lord of hosts, that I will break his yoke from your neck and will burst your bonds. Foreigners shall no more enslave them, but they shall serve the Lord their God and David their king. Against the time setting here, it will all lead up to this epic moment, whom I will raise up for them. Therefore, do not fear. Again, do not fear, O my servant Jacob, says the Lord, nor be dismayed, O Israel, for behold, I will save you from afar, and your seed from the land of their captivity. Jacob shall return, have rest, and be quiet, and no one shall make him afraid. For I am with you, says the Lord, to save you. Though I make a full end of all nations where I have scattered you, yet I will not make a complete end of you. But I will correct you in justice, and will not let you go altogether unpunished. Punishment is coming. It will come first before the reassembling of the remnant of Israel occurs. Get my notes separated here. Jeremiah 46, verse 27 and 28. Again, the same concept here, but to make the point of how fully God is proclaiming what he will accomplish, what he will do. Jeremiah 46 and verse 27. But do not fear, O my servant Jacob, and do not be dismayed, O Israel, for behold, I will save you from afar, and your offspring from the land of their captivity. Jacob shall return, have rest, and be at ease. No one shall make him afraid. Do not fear, O Jacob, my servant, says the Lord, for I am with you, for I will make a complete end. Now, what do you notice here? This is a different part of the book of Jeremiah, but this same message is being repeated that I just read to us. O Jacob, my servant, says the Lord, for I am with you, and for I will make a complete end of all the nations to which I have driven you, but I will not make a complete end of you. I will rightly correct you, for I will not leave you wholly unpunished. Anytime I see scriptures repeated like that, verbatim, it makes me think that God is making a real point. Jeremiah 50 in verse 4 and verse 5. Jeremiah 50 and verse 4. In those days and in that time, says the Lord, the children of Israel shall come, they and the children of Judah together. With continual weeping, they shall come and seek the Lord their God. They shall ask the way to Zion with their faces toward it, saying, come and let us join ourselves to the Lord in a perpetual covenant. and will not be forgotten. I want to pick up a couple of verses in Jeremiah 51. And I'll begin in verse 45. I'll make sure I'm all, yeah, there I am. Okay. Jeremiah 51 and verse 45. My people, go out of the midst of her, and let every one deliver himself from the fierce anger of the Lord. And as we continue in verse 50, you who have escaped the sword, get away. Do not stand still. Remember the Lord afar off, and let Jerusalem come to your mind. I'm just pointing these out, is that those captives, when they're out in basically starting this initial recovery, because so many things will be happening on the earth to get the rest of the earth's attention, and the message will go out that the captives of Israel and Judah must be released. That will be a message proclaimed one way or the other. But the focus is to return to Jerusalem. And a lot of things will be happening in Jerusalem too, because the temple will be there. And the man of sin will have been in the temple. So a lot going on. And the captives will be at times fleeing and assembling. And all you have to do is look at what's going on in Syria. You see a road, people strung out on the road carrying blankets, kids, wheelbarrows and kids, some of them walking, ragged and poor. Not a pretty sight, a horrible sight, but a warning. And it seems like only those individuals who now will answer God's call, who will do what Luke 21 records, I think it's Luke 21:36, pray that you be accounted worthy to escape all these things that are coming to pass. Something we need to be mindful of doing, but also living in such a way that we will be accounted worthy. Jeremiah 50, verses 19 through 20. Backing up a little bit. Jeremiah 50, verse 19. But I will bring back Israel to his home, and he shall feed on Carmel and Bashan. His soul shall be satisfied on Mount Ephraim and Gilead. In those days and in that time, says the Lord, the iniquity of Israel shall be sought, but there shall be none, and the sins of Judah, but they shall not be found, for I will pardon those whom I preserve. Verse 43 of the same chapter. Thus says the Lord of hosts, the children of Israel were oppressed along with the children of Judah. All who took them captive have held them fast. They have refused to let them go. So this extracting of these descendants of the house of Israel, all of them, including the tribe of Judah, may initially be very difficult. And just like Pharaoh wanted to hang on to Israel, these people initially are going to say, why would I let these slaves go? I paid for them. And there is a coming a time, as the book of Revelation speaks of, when men will be sold. And in the warnings of Leviticus 26, it culminates in Deuteronomy 28, in the blessings and cursings, excuse me, in the warnings that God gives. It'll come to the point where nobody even wants to buy these captives. They will be so hated and disdained. So tough times, very difficult times ahead. You know, Jacob, in chapter 49 and verse 1, I'm just going to cite this, called all of his sons together and told them what would befall them in the last days. However, Moses, when he was working with Israel, was inspired to warn of the punishment that would come. And I already mentioned that, excuse me, I guess that's a signal that's getting close to closing time here. But he warns of the punishment that would come for disobedience. And even in certain sections talked about, you will consider this in the last days. So he knew what would happen, that they would rebel. Leviticus 26, verses 44 through 45. Leviticus 26, verse 44. Yet for all that, when you are in the land of their enemies, I will not cast them away, nor shall I abhor them, to utterly destroy them and break my covenant with them. For I am the Lord their God. But for their sake, I will remember the covenant of their ancestors, whom I brought out of the land of Egypt in the sight of the nations, that I might be their God. I am the Lord. Then in Deuteronomy 4, verses 27 through 31, Deuteronomy 4, this is what Moses rehearsed with the people and told them, warned them, and it's recorded for us to understand and to act upon. Deuteronomy 4, verse 27, and the Lord will scatter you among the peoples, and you will be left few in number among the nations where the Lord will drive you. And there you will serve gods, the work of men's hands, wood and stone, which neither see nor hear nor eat nor smell. But from there you will seek the Lord. For some reason, they will know to seek the Lord. Again, I'm addressing the work that is out ahead of the church of God and those God will raise up to proclaim things to his people. And you will find him if you seek him with all of your heart and with all of your soul. When you are in distress and all of these things come upon you in the latter days, he says here, when you turn to the Lord your God and obey his voice, for the Lord your God is a merciful God, he will not forsake you nor destroy you, nor forget the covenant of your fathers, which he swore to you. Then to conclude today, I'd like to go to kind of a summary set of verses in Ezekiel 39. And this section of scripture is pushed right up against chapter 40, which talks very specifically in the next several chapters about the temple, the future temple that will be built and the one to which Christ will return. Ezekiel 39, verse 21. I will set my glory among the nations. All the nations shall see my judgment, which I have executed in my hand, which I have laid on them. Talking about how he's going to correct the government of this world. So the house of Israel shall know that I am the Lord their God from that day forward. The Gentiles shall know that the house of Israel went into captivity for their iniquity, their lawlessness, because they were unfaithful to me. Therefore, I hid my face from them. I gave them over and into the hand of their enemies, and they all fell by the sword, according to their uncleanness, and according to their transgressions, I have dealt with them and hidden my face from them. Therefore, thus says the Lord God, now I will bring back the captives of Jacob and have mercy on the whole house of Israel, and I will be jealous for my name. After they have borne their shame and all of their unfaithfulness in which they were unfaithful to me, when they dwelt safely in their own land and no one made them afraid, when I have brought them back from the peoples and gathered them from their enemies' lands, and I am hallowed in them, in their sight, or in the sight of many nations, then they shall know that I am the Lord their God, who sent them into captivity among the nations, but also brought them back to their land and left none of them captive any longer. And I will not hide my face from them anymore, for I shall have poured out my spirit on the house of Israel, says the Lord God. Sorry for my reading here. It's old age. Brethren, these are strong warnings, powerful warnings. And I would just appeal that we take them to heart and not ignore the times in which we are living right now. They are certainly setting the stage for things much worse to come. We can still see grocery trucks, big semis delivering food, trying to catch up for all the demand for food and toilet paper that's out there. But still, we have this happening. But can you see that in a month's time, this nation could absolutely collapse, be at war, lose the war, be taken captive, be on their way to being sold all over the world? I mean, without going into it now, those prophecies are also in the Word of God, and they will happen. It's up to us individually to, first of all, do the work of God. And if we do that, if we really do the work that God has assigned us to do, to be lights in the world, as we heard earlier, we have the opportunity to escape all these things and to stand before the Son of God and to be in God's kingdom when Israel is regathered and when the whole world will then have a knowledge of the true God.